if anyone wants to make them down.
Flat right here. Come on in. Okay, has anybody ever told you, that you have to, that something's going to happen to you? Anybody ever told you that? So, this is going to happen? And my oldest son, we had to tell him what was going to happen. We had to tell him everything's going to meet, everything's going to do, because if he didn't, he got a little freaked out. So, anybody ever told you something's going to happen? No? I wonder if Allison, did somebody say, Allison, you're going to have a baby? No? You just all of a sudden found out you're having a baby? Wow, that's what we're going to talk about today. Mary, the Lord came to Mary and said, Mary, and Mary, how old was Mary?
Early teens.
Pretty young. How old are you now? 11. So a little bit older than you, Jacob. Okay. Oh. A little bit older than you. The God said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. Surprise. Okay, and you're carrying my son, the Messiah. Wouldn't that be a little freaky? A little freaky. Anybody told you something that's going to happen to you that you think, I'm not too sure I want that to happen to me? No? No? Okay. I have. You probably have. You just don't forget. Anyways, so that's what I said. So Mary didn't say, I don't think so. Okay. Came to Mary in a dream, Mary said, okay, I'm going to have the Messiah. Then she had to break the news to Joseph. But Joseph, she didn't have to do that because Joseph was told by the Lord as well. So that's what we're going to talk about today. So remember that. The Lord speaks in different ways. And the Lord either comes to you in a dream sometimes, or just things happen that the Lord's hands are on it, and we have no control over. So before we go downstairs, let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for the Messiah. And we thank you, Lord, more about you. Name us. Amen. Let us pray.
Let us once again, in the quietness and stillness of this beautiful sanctuary set apart for worship, let us still our minds and our hearts. Let's put out of view the challenges of last week. Let's not anticipate challenges in the week ahead, but let's just be present in the moment, present with our God, our Heavenly Father, who loves to hear from His children. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you. You are a gracious, loving, all-providing, all-sufficient God. You show our love to us in so many ways, and Lord, we rejoice at your faithfulness to this congregation for many, many decades and many, many generations. And in this special time of Christmas, Father, we again anticipate the celebration of the birth of our Savior, Lord, but we never lose sight of the fact that He is coming again in glory to bring His children home to eternal life. And so, Lord, I lift up this congregation to those present with us today and those who are unable to join us today. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit to indwell each one, to light a fire in each one of us, Lord, a fire of revival and renewal and recommitment to our faith and our calling. Lord, my prayer is that a light will go out from Christian Baptist Church that will light up this tent. People will wonder what's going on. People will know it's the hand of God turning His people towards Him. Lord, we give you thanks for the wonderful celebration we had with our Chinese congregation last week and the wonderful time of fellowship, Lord, and that you have brought two young women, Tanis and Dana, to the point of faith in Jesus Christ and the public declaration of their faith in the waters of baptism. Lord, we give you thanks for your continued faithfulness in bringing more and more people to faith in Jesus Christ and more people into the obedience of entering the waters of baptism. Lord, I pray for the families of our congregation, the husbands, the wives, the children, the grandparents. Some of our very difficult years, Father, and you know who they are. Lord, I just pray a sweet blessing of peace on every family here present. Lord, let husbands and wives speak sweetly and gently to one another. Lord, where there has been harsh words, Lord, I pray there will be a moment of repentance, followed by a moment of forgiveness. Lord, I pray where there is estrangement between parent and child, that in this season of Christmas and goodwill towards all men, Lord, that those families will be reconciled and they will share the salvation together. Lord, I pray for the rest of the congregations in Newmarket and the other pastors and congregations that are meeting and worshipping even now. Lord, I pray that your word will go out from our pulpits into the hearts and minds and lives of everyone who hears. Lord, in this time where we are singing about peace on earth, we know there is no peace on earth. Until the Lord Jesus Christ takes up residence in each human heart, there will be no peace on earth. So Lord, we ask you to send more laborers out into the harvest, to bring in more people into the kingdom. Lord, we pray that our work and our efforts and our programs and our organizations will just focus more on bringing people into the community of faith, Lord, and be less concerned with administration issues. And now in the stillness and quietness and privacy of your own heart, meet with your God, give him thanks for all he has done for you, and bring your prayers and your requests to him. Thank you, Father, for hearing the prayers of your children, your people. Lord, I lift up to you those who are sick and unable to join us on a regular basis, Lord, and the shut-ins and the elderly. Lord, we would love to be here, Lord, but unable with their infirmities. Lord, I lift up to you Carol Spring Barry, who's on life support now, and who's been able. And I ask you to bring peace to his heart, salvation to his spirit. Pray for the family and friends that are gathered around you even now. Lord, I pray for the meeting following our service today to discuss our financial situation. Lord, I pray you bring a spirit of hope and expectation to this congregation. Lord, you are in charge of all things. You are the cattle on a thousand hills. You know our situation, Lord, and you know the remedy. Lord, bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Annunciation. The time when Mary was told that she was going to have a child. That was her call. God had anointed her and appointed her to be the bearer of the Messiah. What a task. What an amazing time it must have been for Mary. Young girl, going about her daily business, betrothed to be married, engaged to be married, and suddenly her life is turned upside down. Her thoughts about the future are all now put aside, because God has called her to a greater calling. So I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke, familiar passage for this time of the year. It's going to be Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. Lord, bless the reading and the hearing of your word this morning. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words, and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her older age. And she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. What an amazing, amazing story of this young woman. No clue that she was anybody special or had any special gifting. And an angel from God appears to her and just upsets her whole concept of who she was and what she was called to do and what her life was going to be. And this would not have been an easy message. Not an easy message in that culture, or perhaps in any culture, for a young girl to suddenly find out that she's pregnant, yet still a virgin. Both she and Joseph knew that it wasn't Joseph's baby. Imagine the scandal in that small town of Nazareth, and it was a very small town. "Mary's pregnant, Mary's pregnant." Scandalous, absolutely scandalous. I never trusted that Joseph guy anyway. His family was always a little odd. And so the gossip and the chatter would go out. The shame would come upon the parents. Shame would come upon Joseph and Mary, knowing all the while they were innocent. Perhaps rejection by family and friends. Certainly sneering and jeering. "Oh, sure, Mary, an angel spoke to you. Sure, yeah, yeah, we get it." It would not have been accepted. And yet she said, "I am the Lord's servant. Be it to me as you have said." A humble acceptance of this amazing call to serve God in this particular way. And it wasn't just the announcement and the embarrassment and maybe the hurt and the rejection. The issues and the challenges continued from that day forward for Mary. They had to travel in late pregnancy down to Bethlehem to fulfill the census. So here she is, 8.5 months or so pregnant, riding on a donkey, rough roads, dangerous territory through Samaria, all the way down to the southern part of the country, to Bethlehem. The birth was imminent when they arrived in Bethlehem. And because of the census, the little town of David was filled with people, and there's no room. The hotels are all full. The inns are full. There's nowhere to stay. People are sleeping out on the street. And now the contractions have started. And the baby is born in a stable. It's a tough one, Mary, isn't it? Your little baby born in a dirty stable with animals and all the filth that's associated with that. 1 week later, they bring Jesus to the temple for his dedication. Something we do here with our young babies. We bring them to the church, bring them to the church community, and we have a dedication. Following the rules, if you like, of the Jewish system. And when they got there was an old man called Simeon. And Simeon blessed them. In Luke 2, he says, he blessed them and said to Mary's mother, this child is destined to cause the falling of and rising of many in Israel. She's a young woman. This is her little baby boy. This child is going to cause the rising and falling of many in Israel. And to be a sign that will be spoken against. He's only 8 days old. Why would anybody speak against him? But they will, Mary, they will. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And for you, Mary, a sword will pierce your own soul too. I am the Lord's servant. Be it done to me as you have said. Humble acceptance. And then while he was still just a baby, his life was threatened. The story of the wise men or the Magi in Matthew. They go to Herod. Herod says, tell me where the baby's born so I can go and worship. And the Magi are told not to go back because Herod's intent is to kill the baby Jesus. And an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said, take the child and mother and escape to Egypt. They were refugees. So now Mary's got this toddler, this one-year-old child perhaps, maybe a little older than that. And now they're refugees, of the kind we see every night now on the television. And they're escaping the sudden death of the little baby boy. And they run off to Egypt. And they stayed there until the death of Herod, and then they were able to come back. And that in itself fulfilled a prophecy that out of Egypt I have called my son. Everything works to God's plan when we're working in God's plan. And Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. Be it done to me as you have said. A humble submission, not knowing what this year or next year was going to bring. The next story we have of Jesus in his childhood was when he went to the temple when he was 12 years old. And Jesus, being who he was, hung around the temple when the caravan left to go back to Nazareth with all the families that would travel together. Jesus stayed behind at the temple and was no doubt arguing and conversing with the temple rulers and the teachers of the law. And only after 3 days did Mary discover that her 12-year-old son wasn't with them. Yeah, what would that be like? He's 11. What would that be like? After 3 days, you didn't know where he was. Pretty scary. Pretty scary. So they head back to Jerusalem. They found him in the temple courts. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. Why were you searching for me? Did you know I had to be in my father's house? And Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. Be it done to me as you have said. And Luke goes on to say, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And those are only the ones that were recorded. And we've only reached 12 years. The Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. Later on, of course, we know the end of the story. Mary would be watching as her son was cruelly tortured and crucified, dead and buried. When Mary said, I am the Lord's servant, may it be to me as you have said, she had no clue. She had no idea what all was going to be involved in saying yes to God. She didn't flinch. She was called to give life to the incarnation of God Himself. She was called to be the mother of the Messiah. She had no idea what lay ahead. And as the years went by, one episode after the other, she found out what it was going to be like to follow the call of God. What does following God's call entail? And each one of us have to answer that question. Each one of us has to say, what sacrifice is God calling me to when He calls you into service? Calls you out of your current life and into a new life. He says, you thought you were going in that direction. I want you to go in this direction. I want you to give up that and take up that. How easy is it for us, or how difficult is it for us to say, I'm the Lord's servant. Bring it on. To use the vernacular, that's what Mary said. She said, okay, I'm your servant. What do you want me to do? With complete trust and complete expectation that God is going to fill in the blanks and take care of the little things. And our question is, when God calls us to a particular thing or a particular role or a particular calling in life, are we prepared to say, I am the Lord's servant. Bring it on. You see, Jesus spoke about what discipleship was going to be like in Luke 9. He says, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. When we're called out of what we thought was our happy, comfortable life, and God says, that's ended now. You're going over here to do that. And then we start looking back. God says, no, that makes you unfit for service. You just stay focused on what I've called you to do, and you go do it. I am the Lord's servant. But God doesn't leave us on our own. As Mary did, as everybody did, Jesus did, the disciples did, every one of them. When you're called to a royal position in kingdom work, you will have opposition. The enemy of the kingdom does not want you to be successful in your pursuit of God's glory. He does not want your mission or ministry to succeed. And he will put roadblocks in your way and opposition in your way every step of the way. And listen to what he said to Joshua. It's one of my favorite verses. Joshua 1, 6 to 9. Joshua has now been handed the leadership of the tribe of Israel in the promised land, and he's called to move them forward. And he says to Joshua, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to your forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Why do people who follow Jesus need to be strong and courageous? Because there's opposition. When you want to do the right thing, there's a whole bunch of people who don't want you to do it. There's a whole bunch of people who prefer you just go back to being your normal self. Because you make them uncomfortable. Because you're doing what the Lord has called you to do. And Jesus says, the scripture tells us and reminds us that God is with us. He will never forsake us. He will never leave us. He commands us as leaders in his kingdom work to be strong and courageous and to be bold and to go unflinching. To do what God has told us to do. Our response should always be, I am the Lord's servant. Bring it on. In Isaiah, that opposition theme is picked up again. In Isaiah 54, it says, no weapon forged against you will prevail. Isn't that a great encouragement for those of us who are following Jesus? That no weapon forged against us can prevail. Bring it on. And you will refute every tongue that accuses you. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. I am the Lord's servant. No matter how big or how small the task, I am the Lord's servant. Sometimes we're not called to big, courageous things like Moses and Joshua and the apostles. We're called to little things. Sometimes we feel our part may be very small. Maybe it's just vacuuming the carpets, making coffee, getting a flyer printed up, some small behind-the-scenes task. But every hand that lends itself to moving the kingdom forward is a blessing to all the other hands. When you support the leaders in their big tasks by doing little tasks, it encourages the whole team. Mother Teresa said, you may feel that your part is like a drop in the ocean, but the ocean will be less for that missing drop. Every piece of work helps. Every hand is important in the kingdom work. Can we all say, I am the Lord's servant? Bring it on. No matter how big or how small the calling, God is right there with you. He doesn't send you out on your own. He's right there with you. The King of Heaven has called you to a task, and he will empower you and equip you to be successful in it. All you have to do is be strong and courageous, knowing you're doing the Lord's work. Now each one of us has a place on this team. God is assembling his team of workers to go out into the field and to bring in the harvest. That's the only purpose of the church, is to bring in the harvest, is to make disciples and baptize them. That's the commission. Yes, there's love God, love one another, but go out and bring in the harvest. That's our job as a church, as a congregation, as a gathered people of God. It's the called out ones. The called out of this world and we're sent back into this world to bring in the harvest. No matter what you may think of your own abilities or inabilities, when God calls you to a certain role and it's confirmed by those around you, it's affirmed by those who know you, our response should be just like Mary. I am the Lord's servant. I'll do what I've been asked to do, no matter what the cost. Because nothing is impossible with God. Let us pray. Well, we don't know much about Mary, other than she was a young woman betrothed to be married. But you called this ordinary little girl, young woman, from her ordinary life, and she became the mother of Jesus. And sometimes we hold her up as a very special person, but she wasn't special. She was called to do a special job, but she wasn't special in herself. She was only special because of the calling. And we know little about her, very little about her. And we're not special either, Lord, we're not special. But you have called each one of us to service in your kingdom, big tasks and little tasks. Lord, I pray that your spirit will come alive in each one of us. Each one of us will find the job to do. Each one of us will find our place, our position on this team. We will all pull in the same direction. And Lord, we pray that you will silence the opposition and draw more people into your kingdom work. Lord, bless all of the leaders of this congregation, I pray, for all those who work on the teams and who serve in the background. Let us be encouragers of one another, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
For leading us to this special moment of gathering at the Lord's table. It's something we share with the Christian church around the world. It's something we were commanded to do by Jesus. And it's both a memorial of that Last Supper time when Jesus gathered with his disciples on the night before he was killed. And it's also a foretaste of the great banquet, a great time of celebration we will have with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in eternal life. And so Jesus welcomes all who are disciples of Jesus Christ to come to this table today. No matter what your church tradition, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are welcome at the table. If you have not yet made that decision to follow Jesus Christ, to have him as Lord and Savior of your life, then I would ask you to still observe as the others participate. Scripture reminds us that we should not undertake this lightly, that this is a holy time, a sacred time, a time set apart, and that each person should prepare their hearts and their conscience before participating at the table. And so now I want you to take a few moments in silence with your God to bring anything that's on your mind, anything that's on your conscience, any sin that you harbor, bring it to him, receive his forgiveness, and be cleansed of that sin, and then partake in righteousness at his table. Let's take that moment of silence and take your confession to Almighty God. Scripture also reminds us that when we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and quick to forgive and restore us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you have confessed your sins to God, at this moment you stand before him cleansed and purified and ready to receive from him. Can I ask our servers to come forward, please?
Just thank you, Lord, for your mercy, for your loving kindness and grace to us, Lord. And Father, as we take this time to remember what Jesus did on the cross for us, to try and understand the depth of his suffering, the obedience that he served God with, Lord, who was truly a servant even to the death on the tree of sacrifice, to shed his precious blood, and to fulfill the covenant, the blood covenant that God had ordained from the beginning, right through. And thank you, Lord, that as we partake of these elements, the bread signifying your body broken for us, and the juice signifying his precious blood poured out for the remission of our sins, we cannot say thank you enough, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us to trust you and depend on you. Amen.
Scripture tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he had his disciples with him at the Last Supper, the Seder meal, the Passover meal. And he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take this and eat. This is my body given for you." Let us eat this bread together, remembering that Christ's body was given for us. When the supper was ended, Jesus took the cup. And he said to the disciples, "Take this and drink of it. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, which will be shed for the remission of sins." Let us drink this cup together, remembering that Christ's blood was shed for us, and be thankful.
As you go in peace, when this is the season of peace, and the King of Peace is being born on Christmas, we celebrate his coming. Let the peace of Christ must dwell in our hearts. And the peace of Christ must be brought out to this hurting, pain-filled world. God is calling each one of you to service in his kingdom. The service in God's kingdom is hard. It's difficult. It has challenges. But God is with us. Who could be against us? Go in peace. Amen.